morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want to, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Don't forget, KSFR is now simulcasting on 90.7 FM and 101.1 FM. We're doing that for the next few months, and we would love to get your feedback about 101.1 FM. You can give us a call or write to info@ksfr.org. I also want to send a great big thanks out to everybody who participated in the fundraisers, all the wonderful volunteers, the volunteer producers, people in the phone room, people who donated time, people who donated food, people who donated their contributions to KSFR. Everybody is part of the great big KSFR radio family, and we thank you all so much. Don't forget, you can pledge any time of year at ksfr.org. Just go to that nice website and hit pledge now. Later on in the program, we're going to be talking to Lauren Schechter, who's written a book of poetry called The Seasons of Yes. And we are going to be talking to Robert Knott, as we do just about every Friday, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Shirley Jacobson and Rita Robbins. They're here to talk about the Antiquarian Book Fair that is coming this weekend. Is it this? Yes, this
That's
weekend.
Tonight
and tomorrow to El Museo Cultural. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
You're both book dealers, and you, Rita, are also an antiques dealer, both in the traveler's market. When does a book go from being a dusty old book in the attic to being an antique?
Oh, well, the word antiquarian really means books that are very old, but collectible is a better term, I think, for books that have monetary value, and they don't have to be very old. For example, Cormac McCarthy's new book is signed by him, would be worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
But that's not an antiquarian book.
But it would be considered in the trade as a collectible and part of the antiquarian business.
So what makes a book collectible versus not collectible?
Part of that is the number in the edition, correct?
Yeah.
First editions are generally collectible if it's a good book.
That's if the author is a very famous author, okay? Or if it's somebody who's just written, who has gotten notoriety, or not notoriety, but, you know, has been told by the literary community that it is a very good book.
For instance, the early Sue Grafton mysteries are very collectible because they were probably a very small run.
Right.
Whereas when she became very, very popular, the edition would go into, you know, many, many thousands. So the later ones are not nearly, like A, B, C, D, E, are very collectible.
So what, for example, in the 20th century would be one of the most valuable books? I would think the first edition of James Joyce's Ulysses or something like that.
Well, that's one of them. Yes. Hemingway, Steinbeck. I mean, you name them. They're the big guns of the literary community. Any of their early
Anais
books.
Nin.
Huh? Anais Nin. Nin, yeah.
The first, yeah. Early diaries, for example, the first editions of her diaries.
Well, yeah, we don't even have to go very far. D.H. Lawrence, who was here, his early book, his Lady Chatterley, was printed in Italy. And that first edition is worth an enormous amount of money.
And some of our local ones, for the artists of Caminos and Canyons. And
that's collectible, yeah.
Our local artists, authors.
So do people who buy rare editions actually read them?
It depends on the modern firsts are a much more collectible edition, collectible books on the basis of the dust jacket and the condition of the book, and there are people who love the author, so of course they have. And as a matter of fact, I learn a great deal from customers who collect a particular thing, either an author or a subject matter. And they and Mary Charlotte, those people do read.
They're not afraid to mess them up.
No, they take the dust jackets off. And they're very careful.
And many times they put a protective cover. There are a couple of companies that provide Mylar or protective covers for the dust jackets.
I can see the appeal of having an art collection. You collect the work of an artist or a number of artists whom you like. You put them all over your house, and then if you get lucky, there's a museum show that wants to show your collection, and then you've got 15 minutes of fame or whatever. Books, they're on your shelf. You can't display them exactly.
Nobody can display them, and people who have collectible books by the, or antiquarian, I mean, it's incredible how they feel about them. I mean, they feel as attached. Go ahead.
Well, there are many, many different sub-collections, like children's books, which are wonderful. The illustrations are gorgeous. Then there's the miniature book collectors. And there have been many, many articles about the miniature book collectors lately. It's become a very popular thing.
What do you mean by miniature books?
They're very tiny, less than 3 inches.
She's holding up her thumb 2 inches apart.
No, three. They have to be 3 inches tall to be a miniature. No more than 3 inches. And Stanley Marcus, who lived here, was a very famous collector of miniature books. And he also printed some. And they don't have to be Mary Charlotte. They don't have to be very old sometimes. I mean, it's to be collectible because they're done in very small printings.
And you spoke of art. The artwork in some of the children's books, for instance, is fantastic.
Right? Yeah.
And many of the famous artists, for instance, the Blumensteins in Taos, illustrated books. So that's another reason people collect books, is to get those.
Indian artists have, that is a very marvelous collectible, and I have a whole group of people that collect them. These are Indian artists from early 1900s on who have illustrated children's books. There was a book published by the Museum Press just on that subject matter.
And what's the name of the artist that drew, whenever the books were signed by Hillerman, he would draw little drawings in them? What's his name?
Oh, Franklin, the guy in Gallup who illustrated. They did special illustrations of Hillerman's books. Yeah.
So all this and much, much more, presumably, will be there this weekend at El Museo.
Yes, much more.
So what other kinds of, I mean, when you have an antiquarian book fair, It's books. Are they primarily New Mexico?
No, but because we have dealers from 6 western states. We have a medical dealer that deals just in medical books and very old ones.
And there's a market for old medical books.
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, you know, we're talking about science and medicine, which is a very expensive collection.
We should also point out that there will be vintage postcards, ephemera, photographs, pamphlets, many, many things that complement the book collector.
So what do you mean by, for example, ephemera?
You take
it. Ephemera is things on paper. And it could be letters. It could be little catalogs. It could be advertisements. It could be anything on paper, and it varies in terms of where the value is, depending on what it is and how old it is. And of course, Mary Charlotte, all this is for sale.
Right. This is a book fair, which means you can see them and take them home.
Right.
Do most of the people who buy things at antiquarian book fairs like this, are they collectors, or some of them are just regular people off the street who say, oh, this is cool?
Both, and they're historians who are looking for that little bit of information that they need to complete a book or a thesis or whatever. So it's a wide range. It's not just people that take the books home and put them on the shelf.
And I also have a collecting public, and I wouldn't call them collecting public. They are the people who own, I deal also in art books, and New Mexico art particularly. And these are the people who have the paintings, and they want the book. Mm-hmm. For example, Forrest Fenn is going to be at this book fair, and he has 2 new books. And one of the new books is a repeat of the Sharp book, which sells. The old Sharp book sells for $800 to $1,200. And people who have Sharp paintings, which are worth $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000, love to have the book.
We should mention that there will be several authors there signing their books tomorrow. Mark Simmons, New Mexican historian.
John Nichols.
John Nichols, right.
Mary, Martha Egan.
Mm-hmm. So five different authors at different times.
Now, how has the Internet affected the trade in antiquarian books, in rare books, collectible books?
It has done something that was unthought of it or unheard of at the time when it came on. It has forced people who have bookstores, open bookstores, to go home, because why bother paying rent? But Santa Fe has bucked the trend. We had three new bookstores open here recently, and that is absolutely bucking the trend, and the book fair is bucking the trend because it has also impacted book fairs, and there's been less and less of book fairs.
I think it's tricky business because when you're looking at a collectible book, you have to actually really look at the binding and the paper and the quality of the ink and all of that stuff that you really can't fully represent
right.
on the Internet.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and that's why the bloom has, I think, come off some of the Internet, because also you can't determine the condition.
Right.
And that is the
well,
most
Well, you take
important.
Their word for it.
That's right. That's one of the most important things is condition.
So all of this is tomorrow at El Museo Cultural. There is an admission charge. What are the hours today and tomorrow?
Yeah.
Today's already the 5th.
Yeah, tonight 4 to 9 and tomorrow 10 to 6.
And that's at El Museo Cultural. Both of you will be there and the other Santa Fe and New Mexican book dealers?
Yes.
And five states.
Five states.
Dealers from five states.
Are people coming from out of town
yes.
to go to this?
Yes. We hope so.
Yes, yes. We know that there are dealers coming from California.
Do they show up at, you know, whatever it is, 10 minutes before 4 and line up so they can be the
yes.
first one at things?
Yes. That's what common, yes.
Well, very interesting, and we look forward to seeing you there. Rita Robbins and Shirley Jacobson, antiques and book dealers who have a space at the Traveler's Market. Let's just talk about that for a second. The Traveler's Market is kind of behind, on the back side of the DeVargas Mall.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Plenty of parking.
Plenty of parking indeed, but a lot of people don't know about it. I was just there the other day, and it's not exactly overrun.
Yeah, well, people are discovering it, especially on Saturday. You know, we get a lot of the overflow from the farmers market. We're
uh-huh.
right there.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Well, we will see you at El Museo Cultural and at the Traveler's Market. Rita Robbins and Shirley Jacobson, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break right now, and when we come back, we'll be speaking to Lorraine Schechter. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Lorraine Schechter. She is an artist, poet, educator. She works with the Santa Fe Art Commission's Artworks Program, and she has a new book of poetry called The Seasons of Yes. She will be speaking tonight at 5 o'clock at Garcia Street Books. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Welcome to you, too. Good to see you
well,
in the morning.
Thank you. Yes, the morning,
yes.
Such as it is. So have you always written poetry, or is this a new direction for you?
I've been writing about 20 years. I've been writing poetry about 20 years, and I actually have been writing since I'm 11. I've been keeping a journal since I'm 11, so long time.
So is this your first published book of poetry?
It is. I've had a number of poems in various anthologies, a number of poems published in magazines, literary magazines, but this is my first book.
How did you decide to, first of all, do a book, and are you going back 20 years and taking poetry from all this time?
No. If the poems are for a woman who says yes, the answer is no. The poems are from primarily the last 10 years or so, and many of them were written during the same time that I was doing the images, the mixed media paintings for the Book of Yes, which is a whole visual arts project. So when a friend got her very fancy, highly developed computer, printer, etc., we thought, let's try putting some poems and images together. And I made a suite of prints, and they'll be on exhibit at Garcia Street. And it seemed natural to do a book of images and prints and poems.
And poems. So
yes.
You have, this is more, well, there are some images in it, but this is more a book of poems.
It's primarily a poetry book, and there are actually two editions that Sunstone printed. One is they call the collector's edition, which has five color plates from the Book of Yes, And one is a reader's edition, which has the poems primarily.
So how did you come up with the title? That it's the book is divided up into the four seasons.
Right. Because the impetus, in a sense, was many of the poems coming from the same time as I was doing the Book of Yes, and Yes was the central theme around all of the images. And it seemed to make sense to continue with that idea of yes, and yes to life, yes to the seasons, yes to all those things that make life worth living.
What about those things that make life a big pain in the neck?
Well, they have to be dealt with, don't they? But, you know, the other night at the Guantanamo reading, what was most powerful for me was that here are these men incarcerated under miserable conditions, and the power of the spirit to supersede that and write poems, and very moving poems. So, yes, there are a million no's that confront us, assault us every day. And which way do you want to look at it?
So, what was your process for writing the poems in this book?
My writing process is relatively simple. I sit down and write. I love using a pencil. I guess having been a visual artist for so long, I'm very physical. I love writing.
And yeah, there's a poem about using a pencil.
That's right. Robert likes that. That's his favorite, he says. I write in response to what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've felt. I respond to the landscape. I respond to paintings. I write a lot about paintings and artists, other artists. And so I write my first draft, then I put it into the computer, I print it out, and then I start revising it. And the revisions, actually, many of them end up looking like some of my collages, in fact, because I paint on them or draw on them or add on to them, and they become these visual pieces in themselves.
Do you have a couple of poems that you'd like to read?
Sure, let's open the book and see what we turn to. Okay, let's do View from the Studio. View from the studio. All day the hummingbirds flitted and fought and fed on sugared water. The cat caught two. Locust trees with shaggy manes along their trunks, called junk trees, lasting only 15 years. Russian sage with lavender flowers, purple penstemon, magenta hollyhocks, a pathway to the ultraviolet. Yellow ice flowers banding the border, a final glint of brightness as the gray leaves of the Russian olive match the sky, one dancing, the other loaded with clouds. The studio is whipped by wind. A poem flies across the room, words sail in midair.
Lorraine Schechter, she will be at Garcia Street Books today at 5 o'clock. You are also an educator. Tell us about your teaching and educating work.
I've been a teacher for 35, 40 years. It's been a long time. As long as I've been a visual artist, I've been teaching, and I love it. I love teaching. And
what do you teach?
At this point and all along, I've been teaching painting, drawing, printmaking, design, advanced painting, abstract painting, all of those elements of art and design that I've done on my own. And my own work is now mixed media, taking all of the individual elements and bringing them together. And in 2001, I guess, I started working with artworks and as a teaching artist. And I guess the time had come for some changes, and I was hired then as the director, coordinator of the program, and that's what I did for 4 years. So that rather than teaching in the classroom or teaching students, I was working with teachers and working with the incredibly creative teaching artists all around town.
Does that put your own work on hold for a while?
It certainly did. It certainly did, yes. Yes, there was an enormous amount of energy needed to create this program and build it and develop it. So a lot of my creative energy actually went into the program, and I'm thrilled because it's a fabulous, fabulous program.
And what do you do with them now?
Now I'm artistic director, so I do the things I love best. I mentor the teaching artists, music, theater, dance, visual arts, poetry. We have a very generous donation gift from... who is it? Witter Binner Foundation has been very good to us, so we're able to provide poetry in the schools for the kids. And I mentor the TAs, and I teach the teachers, yeah, in summer institutes. We have a lot of fun. It's like art camp. So it's just been great.
Well, it's coming up to 8:30 here on KSFR. Lorraine Schechter, I want to thank you for being here, and we will see you tonight at 5 o'clock at Garcia Street Books.
Great. Good to see you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
Likewise. Lorraine Schechter is an artist, poet, and educator, and her new book is called The Seasons of Yes, published by Sunstone Press. We'll be back in just a moment after we hear from our wonderful underwriters, speaking with Robert Knott. Stay tuned to KSFR. And I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He's associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe New Mexican, our daily newspaper, coming on to our daily talk show every Friday, just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, welcome, Robert.
Good morning. How is you?
I is okay. How is you?
I is very good. Thank you for asking.
Our grammar is just starting off with a bang.
Well, we'll get better. Don't worry. I'm feeling kind of lugubrious this morning, so...
You are?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I don't know. It's just sort of a feeling of existentialism mixed up with a little bit of cohesiveness. Hey, here's some theater stuff happening this weekend.
Robert, do you know what you're talking about, or are you just saying multisyllabic words for the fun of it?
I don't say multi-anything for the fun of it. I try to keep things to, like, one or two syllables. The moment I get to three syllables, I'm lost.
A syllable has three syllables.
If you pick up the pocket... Tiempo, apparently I'm lost, you'll see that the cover story is about the College of Santa Fe's theatrical production of Speak Truth to Power, directed by Pete Zapp and Jonathan Richards, a freelance writer for the PASA, did a really terrific job with this story on a play about human rights abuses that's going up at the college. I think it's going to be pretty dynamic. Opens tonight at 8 o'clock. You're looking for a phone number, you should look in the PASA calendar. I think it's 473-6511, box office over there, so going to be pretty good. The Blue Room, if you're in for something a little naughty, is David Hare's adaptation of that old play, what do you call it, La Ronde, where everybody's sleeping with everybody else. Anyway, it's 10 actors, 5 situations, A sleeping with B, B sleeping with C, and so on. Opens at the Armory for the Arts tonight at 8 p.m., 1050 Old Pecos Trail, probably PG-13 at the very least. And it's your last chance to go see A Fabulous Time at the Theater.
I'm going on Sunday.
You is.
No, I am.
Even better. I'm glad you're going. 3-1 Acts by Ron Bloomberg. Vocal performance by Chris Calloway. 8 o'clock tonight. All three of these shows are tonight at 8. All three of them run through the weekend. No, that's wrong. The Blue Room does not have a... I got to double check this. The Blue Room does not have a Sunday show. The other two do. So, some theater to consider. The 35th Annual Harvest Festival is out at El Rancho de las Golondrinas, Mary Charlotte. And it's a living history museum where history... comes to life. That's why it's living history. 10 to 4 on Saturday and Sunday out on Los Pinos Road. There's arts and crafts, food vendors, demonstrations, music, dance, antics for the kids.
There's a antics?
Antics. A lot of outdoor art stuff happening Saturday, too. Art in the Park, 10 to 5, down at Cathedral Park. The City Different Artists Market at the First Community Bank parking lot on Guadalupe Street. And the Santa Fe Artist Market, which is in the Casa Solana Shopping Center. They're all happening Saturday morning, like 9 to 2. The Art in the Park's 10 to 5, so a lot of stuff there if you want to go outside. That doesn't even bring up the Santa Fe Society of Artists Outdoor Juried Show in the government parking lot next to the El Dorado Hotel downtown, also on this weekend. So a lot of outdoor
art. Not to mention the Antiquarian Book Fair, which we were just talking about in the first part of the show.
Antiquarian means what? Something to do with the Age of Antiquarius. Remember that song? This is the morning of the Age of Antiquarius. Age of Antiquarius.
You're just amazing, Robert.
Delirious.
Nobody but you.
All right, so what's the story on that?
We just talked about it in the first part. It's a collectible antique book fair and artwork and things like that at El Museo Cultural tonight from 4 to 9 and then tomorrow all day.
And you were talking about naughty books like D.H. Lawrence and what's her name? Anais
Nin.
Yeah, those naughty books that go for a lot of money. Speaking of literary stuff, which has to do, by the way, with writing, reading, and words on paper, last night I attended the opening event for the Santa Fe Short Story Festival.
Oh!
At James A. Little
Theater.
Tell
us more.
Well, I'm about to. I was like just seconds away from reverberating most of the stuff. It's really, it was a great start. They had four short story writers up there, Laura Furman and Manuel Munoz and Ron Rash and Leanne Howe talking about writing short stories, and I read little snippets from their work. They read it really well, kind of got you really excited. It was really kind of
That's a marvelous
discussion.
Event. I've covered it in the past. I didn't have time this year for some reason, but it's
if you like reading, if you like writing, if you just like interacting with authors, tonight at 7, there's another event at the James A. Little panel discussion. And then tomorrow at 7, and if I'm wrong about the times, I apologize, because you should check out SantaFeShortStory.org. Tomorrow at 7, actors are going to read some of these writers' works on the stage of the James A. Little, sort of bring them to life. Meanwhile, tomorrow, all day long at the James A. Little, which is on Cerritos Road at the New Mexico School for the Deaf, has a they have a short story fair. And there'll be short stories, there'll be music, there'll be dance. It's absolutely free, unless, of course, you want to buy food from some of the vendors. Or I guess they're going to sell books, you want to buy a book. So, and it's great for kids. They're going to have kids' activities. So consider going to the Santa Fe Short Story Festival, all-day short story fair tomorrow at the James A. Little Theater. Just drive in for a while. I'm going to say it's like 10 to 5, and if I'm off by an hour, forgive me.
We forgive you.
Thank you. Meanwhile, there's a lot of different art openings tonight. I'll start with Adib Kadori, Fine Art. They moved across the street to 613 Canyon Road, which used to be Celebrations. And while they're honoring Stephen Boone, they're having a grand reopening reception where you get to see all the work of all their artists, 5 to 8 o'clock tonight. Also on Canyon Road, right up the road, Darnell Fine Arts having new paintings by Rachel Darnell called Interconnected, reception 5 to 7. Dorothy Rogers Fine Art, which is in the Design Center on Cerritos Road, has Ann Chernow Golden Oldies, 5 to 7, and she sort of does takes on old, like, movie stars from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, puts them sort of in these real life, not particularly glamorous situations. XX3 Excerpt Exhibition is on Early Street at 850, pardon me, 805 Early, Building B, as in buoyant. It's a group show by Santa Fe artists. It's the third such annual show. Reception 5 to 8 p.m. And Farrell Fishoff Gallery on 2nd Street, 1807 2nd, Unit 29, has Emergence, The Becoming Visible, which is watercolors and paper assemblages by Fiona Buck, who was one of those artists I first wrote about when I returned to Santa Fe in 1999. So reception 5 to 8 if you want to go over to 2nd Street to Farrell Fishoff. You already mentioned Lorraine Schechter. She was on the air for the Seasons of Yes, Garcia Street Books, 5 to 7. And Gerald Peters has Carol Anthony, The Presence in Absence. Isn't that amazing? What do you call it when two things contradict each other?
An oxymoron?
Don't you call me any kind of moron. I'm doing my best to get all my monosyllabic syllables out of the way.
It's so not my fault.
The Presence and Absence is paintings by Carol Anthony.
She's a great painter.
Well, there's a really good piece by her, by Elizabeth Cook Romero in today's PASA. They have a couple other openings tonight as well, reception 5 to 7. And finally, Joyce Robbins has Brad Aldridge, A Distant Land, paintings. She's on Galisteo Street at 201. And Claudia Marr has her 14th annual Realism Invitational show. So there's paintings that have to do with realism.
Invitations.
And invitations. Very good. Reception 5 to 7 p.m. And finally, if you like Northern New Mexico churches, paintings by Raymond Nordwall, Nordwall, at the Nordwall Gallery and Studio, 618 Canyon Road. I have not been there yet. Reception 5 to 7. What time is it?
It is 8:38.
Oh, we're doing great. What are you up to?
Oh, I was just looking at my calendar file on my computer here.
Yeah, got anything fun to talk about?
Sure. Let's see. Tomorrow morning on Camp Love Wave, the CIA shows up. Two former CIA officers will discuss Iran, Israel, and there will be time for call-ins. That's right here on KSFR from 10 to 11.
Is that the Cooking Institute of America? A couple of chefs,
Oh, the Culinary Institute of America. Actually, that's right near where I grew up.
Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, it's right near Poughkeepsie. It's in Hyde Park, New York.
Ah.
Yeah, they'll be talking about Iranian culinary traditions.
That's pretty good.
Hey, Oshara sculpture opening on the Oshara Village Plaza. That's tomorrow from 4 to 7 p.m., and the exhibition runs through January. You can go to osharavillage.com for more information.
Excellent. Now, here's a lecture that should make everybody sit up and take notice, particularly as it pertains to some of us sitting around the table here at the Santa Fe Baking Company.
Yes.
Because Harvard University English professor Philip Fisher.
Professor Fisher.
That's right. Tonight at 8 o'clock at the Great Hall, Peterson Student Center, he's going to give a lecture called Are Characters Persons? Now, am I a character or am I a person?
Oh, I think you're a whole lot of both.
Well, there you go. So he'll be talking about people like me, I suspect, trying to figure out if characters are persons and persons are characters.
Well, just characters, see if right? if they have a voter registration card.
That's how you figure it out?
Yeah, that's one way. See if they have a social security number. See if they have flesh.
Is that how you get released from jail and you're on recognizance? You got to have something like that?
I don't know.
Anyway, the lecture's tonight at 8 o'clock, and it's free.
Hey, October 8th. That's next week. What day next week is
it? No, that's Sunday. That's Monday.
That's next week. It's Monday. The Santa Fe Art Institute and PBS Art 21 present a special screening of the film Protest at 6 o'clock. It's free. It's at Tipton Hall. And Art 21, Art in the 21st Century, is the only series on television to focus exclusively on contemporary visual art in the United States. And it uses TV to provide an experience of the visual arts that goes far beyond a gallery visit. So all of that is happening at the Santa Fe Art Institute, well, sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute and right next to the Santa Fe Art Institute at Tipton Hall. And it's free, free, free.
There's a lot of free stuff happening. The thing I like most about it is that there's no cost. That same
424-5050 is the number over there.
The same night, Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, author, Native American activist. That is, she's an activist for Native American issues, but she is not Native American. And what do you call if somebody's an ethnologist? What do you call that?
Ethnologist?
Yeah, that's it. She'll be discussing and signing copies of her book, Roots of Resistance, A History of Land Tenure in New Mexico. 1 o'clock on Monday at Borders on Zafferano Drive. She's also giving a lecture later in the week. Paul Weideman did a piece on her in today's Pasta Tempo, so take a look-see. And also Monday at 3:30, Stephen Fadden will give a discussion on Indian traditions with refreshments. That's amazing. Like iced tea while you're talking about stuff, huh? 3 o'clock on Monday at the Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian Library, 704 Camino Lejo on Museum Hill. You got to pay to get in. Here's a phone number. 9829667.
And they'll remember that one. How about this? The third annual Soul Food Banquet and Santa Fe NAACP Community Awards Gumbo Feast Baked Chicken, Sunday, October 7th, from 5 to 7:30 at the Elks Club, 1615 Old Pecos Trail. You can celebrate with them the Little Rock Nine's 50th anniversary of integrating Central High School. Come honor the three Santa Feans who live the Little Rock Nine's commitment to educational equality and opportunity.
Excellent.
And Agalu Nigerian Drumming will be there, Kathy McGill singing the blues, and much, much more. For more information, 438-4368.
And if you're interested in music tonight, you got lots of options. One is to stay home and listen to the radio. If you don't want to do that, Rashid Ali Quintet's playing down at the Evangelos presentation of the Santa Fe Jazz Club Festival. 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, you got to pay to get in, 670-6482. Meanwhile, Gut Bucket, about which I know very little except that they're a washtub bass
gut
heavy.
Gut Bucket?
Gut Bucket.
But does that not sound a little gross?
I don't make the names up.
I'm just saying.
Reiterate them on the radio. I don't know. A Gut Bucket is like
a bucket of guts.
Well, it could be Mud Bucket. That would be a little better.
Yes, it would.
Anyway.
It wouldn't be that good, though.
No, it wouldn't. Did you ever take a bath in mud?
Yes. Up at Ojo Caliente.
Oh, that. Okay. But they don't have wrestling up there, right?
You know, I think that's something that we can talk about off the air.
Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't know. I was going to say up there and take a peek. Anyway, Gut Bucket is playing at 9 o'clock tonight at High Mayhem Studios on Lena Street. Got to pay to get in. It's 9 o'clock. If you order a High Mayhem CD, then you get in for free. Here's a phone number, 501-3333. Tell Max I said hello.
A couple of years ago, there was a contest that the Albuquerque Alibi had.
Yes.
And the contest was make up a concept for a high-concept summer blockbuster film. So my friend Lori and I made up 11 high-concept blockbuster film, and we won. And you want to hear the film?
Go ahead. It's your show.
The film was called. They never made the film. You know, the New Mexico's burgeoning film industry can pick it up. This is an invitation. The film is called Mudslide. In this summer's most spellbinding disaster film, a group of female wrestlers on tour saves a small town in Montana from muddy oblivion, rescuing men, women, children, and farm animals alike, and earning the respect of the religious fundamentalists who had earlier protested against them.
Well, the only way I would go see such a picture of Mary Charlotte, no offense, is if Keira Knightley, Paris Hilton, and Ursula Andress was in it.
You would go see that film no matter who was in it.
You're right. If there were some local amateurs, I'd go
you
in a second.
You would go to that film in a millisecond. In fact, we would talk about nothing else for
Are
the whole
kidding?
Half hour.
I put money into that thing. All right, where were we? You totally threw me off. Tonight, the Santa Fakers are at the Cowgirl Bar and Grill doing rock at 9 o'clock, small cover. Fusion, the Dash 32 Stairs, the former Swig, has Mosaic Dance Company at 7, followed by DJ John Edwards doing hip-hop at 9:30. Mosaic is free. DJ has got to pay. Las Fuentes at Bishop's Lodge has Pat Malone and David Parlato doing jazz, 7 to 10, no cover. You want to go down to Madrid? The Santa Fe All-Stars are doing the Americana route, 8 o'clock at the Mineshaft. No cover.
What about They Might Be Giants?
I was about to get to them.
Oh.
There's a story
sorry.
On in today's Pasatiempo. But thank you for asking.
I'm asking.
Thank you for interrupting my reign of thought.
No, go ahead.
They Might Be Giants. The New York alternative rock duo is in concert. Oppenheimer, about who I know very little, except that he's an Irish indie rock guy, opens for them. When? Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Santa Fe Brewing Company on Fireplace. Got to pay. It's more money if you pay at the door. It's cheaper if you call the Lenzic at 988-1234. See David Prince's story in today's Pasatiempo.
Hey, the Santa Fe Weaving Gallery, along with the Santa Fe Textile Arts Alliance, is sponsoring some events this week. The events are, where are they? They're running through Sunday at the Santa Fe Weaving Gallery at 124 and a half Galisteo in downtown Santa Fe. And for more information, you can go to santafeweavinggallery.com or call 982-1737.
If you want to be outdoors and do something culturally interactive and bring the kids, on Saturday from 10 to 4, the 6th annual Sun Mountain Gathering occurs. And these are Native American arts and crafts exhibits with food, games, crafts demonstrations, spear throwing, kids' activities, traditional dancing, music, everything. Milner Plaza, it's free. This is at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture on Camino Lejo on Museum Hill. Bring the kids, go. It's a great thing to do on Saturday, assuming the weather's good. Assuming the weather's bad, go. I mean, I suspect they'll have umbrellas or something. It'd be tough, though, if they threw spears and, like, they went through the umbrellas and made holes. Remember that episode
It'd be even tougher if the spear went through you.
I think I better stay home that day. I like this picture in the pasta calendar of Lil Bit and the Custom-Atics.
I like it when you talk about pictures on the radio when people can't see them.
That's it.
No, go ahead.
That's it. I've just about had it with this. Every time I come on here, there's some sort of spears going at me.
What?
And there's little knives. Lil Bit and the Custom-Atics playing at 6:30 Thursday. Second Street Brewery at 1814 Second Street. There's a fun, terrific picture of them in the pasta. That's all I know. Picture makes me want to go see them.
And, well, you should go see them, and you should encourage other people to do so. And ignore everything that I say.
It's 6:30, and it's free. That's also the same night that Yamato, the Drummers of Japan, perform at the Lenzic at 7:30. Santa Fe Concert Association event. You got to pay to get in. Call the Lenzic, 988-1234. By the way, I went to the Pinon Awards the other night at Tuesday and saw Bob Martin of the Lenzic give a very respectful speech about being one of the recipients of the Santa Fe Community Foundation's Pinon Awards, which honors Northern New Mexico nonprofits. And it was a really wonderful celebration. Congratulations to the Lenzic as well as the other groups that won. I like the Lenzic. It's a nice place to go.
It is, in fact, a wonderful place to go. Hey, on October, check this out. Shakti Whole Life Center announces October 13th workshop to help women manage their moods and emotional tendency. The 11 mood centers of the woman. That's October 6th, October 13th from 2 to 4. And it's a class taught about the 11 moon centers. For more information, oh dear, let me scroll down and find a telephone number. Oh, here it is. 690-8048. It was right there.
Okay.
690-8048.
Who's teaching the class?
Guru Tara Kaur Khalsa.
Does that sound like a woman or a man?
It better be a woman.
Well, that's kind of a...
Well, she's teaching about menstrual cycles and emotional cycles and hormonal changes and moon centers. And
this is why we have battles between the sexes, because men always think men can do everything right, and women always think, because they're right, by the way, that they can do it better. I mean, what if he were a man and he was very good at doing this stuff? Wouldn't that be somewhat synchronistic, so to speak?
Somewhat what?
You know, I'm thinking of something sort of... supercilious along those lines.
Are you trying to say sacrilegious?
No, not sacrilegious, but, you know, what would it be if...
You're turning so red,
that's
Robert
because
Knott.
I get myself into these messes. I come on the show to do the arts listing. Every week I try my best to stick to the schedule, stick to the, you know, and you go ahead and say something like
I
that.
I fluster you.
It's not that you fluster me. You bluster me is what you do. I want to know what's the big deal
you.
If it turned out to be a man teaching it. Is that such a bad thing?
Because he doesn't have the experience of what he's teaching.
Well, I'm sort of dumbfounded on that one. I won't deny it.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, there's something guys can't teach women. That's true.
There's maybe a very, very few things, but the moon centers of the emotional being of women is probably something that you want a woman teaching you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what if a man wants to go to this?
Why would he want to go to it?
Because we want to understand women better. That's the problem. We're never allowed in these places where women are. No wonder we get in trouble.
Well, then you can call that phone number that I gave. And you can talk to them and ask whether a man can... Why don't you try it out, Robert? You want to go?
Well, maybe I would go just to see what's happening. I just like going to those old all-female yoga classes.
It's 8:51 at KSFR.
That's a hint that I got to get going here. Dialogue 360, Artisan Conversation, discussion by Sabra Moore and Leland Chapin. When? 6 p.m. What day? Thursday. Where? Center for Contemporary Arts. Address? 1050 Old Pecos Trail. Got to pay to get in? Yep. 982-1338. Or, that same night, at 7 p.m., Vox perform a poetry series, stage poetry readings by Jimmy Santiago Baca and Reggie Cabico. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it. 7 p.m., CCA, got to pay to get in. 982-1338. That's the same night at the El Dorado Hotel, Mary Charlotte.
You're taking a tone of voice with me.
No, I'm simply... What do you call it when you're speeding up?
Speeding up.
That's it.
Accelerating?
That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to accelerate the program. You gotta accelerate the radio show. Eliminate the hostess, don't you know? And El Dorado Hotel and Spa, Savoras Cuban Music at 6:30.
Yay!
Saturday, no cover. La Casa Cena has the best of Broadway and jazz at 5:30. You never know what they're going to pull out of Broadway, though. Second Street Brewery, I already talked about. Staub House Lounge, Pat Malone Trio, 8 o'clock. This is all Thursday night. There's music every night of the week. Quite often it's free. So like Sunday night at the Orr House, Chris Abeta and Don Lovato are playing guitar from 6 to 9. Absolutely free. And Tone and Company are over at Evangelo's that day at 6 o'clock doing R&B and blues and rock, no cover. Saturday night, Bobby N., about who I know nothing, singer-songwriter's playing at Body across the street from us here, 6:30, no cover. And the Lawn Chair Kings. I like the title sometimes. I don't even care if the Lawn Chair Kings are going to play at the Cowgirl Bar and Grill at 9 o'clock Monday night. But you got to pay to get in. So that's that. What do you think?
Mud wrestling.
Well, I would go see that. I would like to know more about this picture. Like, did you write it specifically for an all-female cast?
No.
Is there
I mean,
a scene where they're like...
But the team of female mud wrestlers is an all-female team.
Well, naturally, that's how it has to be if they're female mud wrestlers. So there, I got you on one. I think I don't know the difference between girls and boys. I figured that out when I was 28, 29. What time is it?
It's 8:53. You want to hear some of our other blockbuster movie ideas that didn't win?
Why not? Go ahead.
It's You and Me, Babe. Stranded on a desert, a man on a desert island, a man with his pet pig, together find a way to build a radio from palm fronds, leading to a dramatic rescue.
This is amazing. You're seen around town as the intellectual. I come on here and I'm sort of seen as the buffoon. And these are the kind of film ideas you're putting together.
Here's a good one. Nurse on a Harley. In full leather regalia, Nurse Lola rides through the countryside, vaccinating children and helping the elderly. When she uncovers a drug smuggling ring, she single-handedly rounds up the gangsters who have been terrorizing the community and gives them a good talking to.
That was a Pam Grier movie 30 years ago.
It was
called
not.
Foxy Friday. You should see that stuff. It shows up on the retro channel all the time.
We made it up. Nurse Lola.
I'm telling you, anything with Pam Grier, I'll watch. She'd be good in that mud wrestling picture, too. Well, what else do you want to talk about? The Three Faces of Jazz playing Sunrise Springs? Saturday night at 6 seems pretty inconsequential compared to your
Yeah, but those are all concepts that have never actually been actualized.
I'm leaving here today to go steal your ideas. What are you talking about, the mud wrestling? I put the dame with the Harley in there. I got it made. Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta this weekend. Head on down. There's night glows, mass ascensions. Man, this is sounding religious. Special shape rodeo. What's that, like heifers and horses that are on a diet or something?
I fear to ask.
October 6th through 14th, down there at the Balloon Museum Drive, which is off of Alameda Boulevard Northeast. Here, I'll tell you what. Here's a phone number. 888-422-7277 or www.balloonfiesta.com. Ding, dong, ding.
Here's another one. Buddha in chains.
Oh, jeez.
When the Buddha is reincarnated as a black man from Alabama accused of a grisly murder he didn't commit and sent to death row, his equanimity is severely tested.
His what?
Equanimity.
Does that mean nobody? He doesn't want anybody to know who he is?
No, that's anonymity.
Huh. Equanimity, huh? I got some equanimity towards you every time I come on here on Friday.
Well, I'm glad that you have equanimity toward me.
Now I'm not so sure what it means. The Abiquiu Studio Tour. If you want to go north, 14th annual is happening this weekend. A Little Story in the Paso Tiempo by Elizabeth Cook Romero. 10 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. Abiquiu, oh, Abiquiu. I am so afraid of Georgia O'Keeffe. Also, the Artesanos de Valle Studio Tour. Head north on, what's that, I-25? Take the Pecos exit. They're happening. 10 to 5 both days. See A Little Story by moi. That's French, in case you
that's
didn't know.
That's you?
Yes, that's me. In the Paso Tiempo.
Excellent.
And finally, if you want to audition for a play, the Santa Fe Playhouse is trying to find actors for The Mousetrap, which is an Agatha Christie murder mystery. People get killed. Maybe I'll end up playing a corpse. They're having auditions from noon to 2 tomorrow at the Santa Fe Playhouse on DeVargas Street. Call 988-4262. You have to be ready for a cold reading, which means you read from the script, and bring a one-minute monologue from a British play. But it doesn't say you have to do a British accent.
When was the last time you acted?
About 2 minutes ago. Why?
No, I mean in a play, on stage.
It's been about 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
No, it doesn't grab me much. I can act every day of my life, every minute of my life.
Are you acting right now?
I'm always acting.
What are you acting like?
Well, I'm acting kind of tired. I'm exhausted.
But you are exhausted. You're not acting.
Well, I can act exhausted.
But you are exhausted.
Well,
you're listening to Santa Fe Public Radio, KSFR.
It's our show.
It is our show when we're together.
Yeah.
Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Paso Tiempo.
80-20.
Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe. What are you talking about? You get 80%.
Yeah, well, yours is tax-free.
What?
Keep going.
He's here with us every Friday, almost every Friday.
I'll be gone for a few weeks.
Speaking of the arts, yeah, well, I'll be gone for one of those Fridays, and you'll be gone for another one. But that's okay. We will see you when you get back. We will be delighted. We'll see you next week,
I'll
right?
I'll be back one more week.
Okay, wonderful. Robert Knott, thank you for being with us. Why are you? We're not done yet. We've got 15 seconds left before she runs the music. Actually, you can run the music now, Laurel. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528.
Mudslide.
We're also podcasting. I think Mudslide is good. New Mexico burgeoning film industry scriptwriters. Give me a call at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. I have the concept copyrighted, just so you know.
I should co-write it with you.
Let's do it. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta with Ricardo Perez. And I just want to thank you, Robert, and everybody who participated in the KSFR Fun Drive, which was really fun this year. We put the fun back in Fun Drive.
Did you make your money?
We did. We made our goal thanks to our wonderful, generous listeners who understand the value of public radio in their lives. I'm not going to talk about it anymore because we're done until,
we should get that
until the next time.
To Pamela Lee Anderson. That would get it sold. Mudslide.
Yeah, totally. We're there. In fact, we have to go now and do that. Broadcasting live from
and
the Santa Fe Bacon
to
Company.
Give it dramatic weight.
Okay, then. My name is Mary Charlotte. We will see you Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Be happy.
What a wonderful world.
Be peaceful.
This could
be safe.
Adios.
Be like Robert Knott.
Uh-oh.
Ciao.